الحمد لله الحمد لله كفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون وقال تعالى وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعان صدق الله العظيم.
Most respected elders and brothers in Islam, we all know how close we are to this very Mubarak and blessed month of Ramadan. Year in, year out, Allah Ta'ala affords us the opportunity to be alive and to benefit from this Mubarak month of Ramadan, from the spirituality aspect of the month of Ramadan. And that is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us the Mubarak dua. Every dua is Mubarak of his, blessed of his. Every sunnah of his is Mubarak. Source of barakat in our lives. He's taught us this dua, which we were reading all this time. Allahumma barik lana fi rajab wa sha'ban wa ballighna ramadan. O Allah, give us barakat, blessings in rajab and sha'ban and allow us to be alive and reach the month of ramadan. This itself is something very clear and avowed. That way we are making dua to Allah. That O Allah, keep us alive till the month of Ramadan. Showing us the status and what virtue this month of Ramadan has over the remainder months. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned words to this effect. That if people really knew, لو يعلم الناس, if people really knew, what are the real virtues and status and blessings of Ramadan? They would have desired that the entire year be Ramadan. They would have had this feeling in their heart and made dua to Allah. How nice that the entire year, all 12 months be Ramadan. Because of the status and the barakat and blessings of the month of Ramadan. Like that, I can continue speaking about the virtues of Ramadan, the stages of Ramadan, which we definitely heard in the past. We'll be hearing some today. And like that, in the month of Ramadan. But, brothers in Islam, what I myself, and like that all of us, have to reflect, what we have to reflect upon and introspect in our lives, that how many Ramadans have passed in my life? I could be 30, I could be 40, I could be 20, whatever my age could be. But what difference did the month of Ramadan bring in my life? Besides the different eats that we cherish and look forward to, although most of them are not even healthy and good for us, but people look forward toward that aspect of Ramadan. I mentioned once in this masjid last Ramadan, on a Sunday after Zuhr, that we become so generous with the, especially with Halim, in the month of Ramadan, that one brother even reminded me recently, Maulana Mufti Sahib, last year, you mentioned that people give so much of Halim, that you can even have a bath in Halim also. So much of Halim is given. So we become very generous. We are staying away from food and drink for so many years. What difference did the month of Ramadan bring to my life? And like that, all of us, nationally, internationally, in all aspects of our life. And that is the verse I recited at the beginning. Allah Ta'ala says that those who have iman, Muslims, mu'mineen, Allah Ta'ala has ordained for us to fast. Compulsory, like the people of the past. Remember in the past also, they used to keep roza and suyam and so on. But the whole idea is the end of the verse. Na'allakum tattaqoon. To adopt this quality of taqwa, which we heard so many times, 120 times, we heard about what is taqwa, what are the details. As a reminder, we're speaking about it again. Again and again, إِذَا تَكَرَّرَ الْكَلَامِ تَكَرَّرَ فِي الْقَلْبِ. When something is repeated, it generally settles in the heart. After some time, something that's difficult to understand, something difficult to implement, something that could be a complex situation, or anything of that kind, the more you talk about it and repeat it, you know, those who are doing hifz of Quran, those who want to buy heart something, how many times over they'll read over it? The same. We're repeating our sabak, our lesson. Ramadan is here again. Few days away, a few hours away. What have we prepared spiritually for the month of Ramadan? And what intentions that we have we made for this Ramadan to be different from the previous Ramadans? Or, like how many people today will consider Ramadan just to be a burden on their head. I can't wait for Eid. Why do I have to do this and the other in Ramadan? How many will come and ask time and again, Mufti Sahab, what is the status of Taraweeh? Do we have to read? Many will ask, and do we have to read 20? Do we have to make Khatam of Quran in Taraweeh? If we made Khatam one place, do we have to go another place? And do we have to continue? And so many excuses we'll find to make our life easier in the month of Ramadan. But brothers in Islam, all of us should introspect our lives and think and plan from now. How may I maximize the month of Ramadan? It is surely out of Allah Ta'ala's rahmat, blessings, mercy and benevolence, His fadl, that is given us the month of Ramadan. There's so many virtues, so many aspects with regards to the month of Ramadan. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "U'tiyat ummati khamsa khisalin fi Ramadan, lam tu'tahunna ummatun qablahum fi." That we have been given, my ummat, that is we've been given 5 special characteristics and aspects in Ramadan. Nobody before has been given in Ramadan. Number 1, لَخَلُوفُ فَمِ الصَّائِمِ أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. The smell that emanates from the mouth of the person who's fasting. Whatever smell, stench comes out of the mouth while you're fasting. In the eyes of Allah, أَطْيَبُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ مِنْ رِيحِ الْمِسْكِ. Musk, the fragrance of musk that you'll pay thousands of rands and dollars for. In the eyes of Allah, the smell that comes out is more scented than the fragrance of musk. What a great thing that to us it looks something else, but in the eyes of Allah it's something else. Second, تَسْتَغْفِرُ لَهُمُ الْحِيطَانِ حَتَّى يُفْطِرُوا. Even the fish in the sea, even the fish in the sea seek forgiveness for those who are fasting till the time of iftar. While we fast, they are benefiting because fasting is a training time. We abstain from halal and the more we stay away from haram also. Generally. And through that, when good actions take place, good conditions come down. And even the fish in the sea benefit. They make istighfar for us, they make dua for us of forgiveness. That Allah forgive these people. That even the fish in the sea, according to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are making dua of forgiveness for us. Third, تُصَفَّدُ فِي مَرَدَةُ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That the rebellious shaitans and jinns, they are tied, they are shackled, they are kept away. They are tied up, they are shackled and kept away in the month of Ramadan to make it easier for us to train ourselves for the remaining 11 months. Stay away from halal and more away from haram. Fourth being that Allah Ta'ala decorates, and Allah Ta'ala gives more beauty and decorates a special garden in Jannah every day in Ramadan. And Allah Ta'ala addresses that garden in Jannah, that very soon my servants are going to leave the torments of this world and they're going to come to you, so be prepared for them. Every day, that means 30 days or 29 days, every day this garden of Jannah is decorated for us in Jannah, in the month of Ramadan. And the fifth being, يُغْفَرُ لَهُمْ فِي آخْرِ لَيْلِهِ, that on the last night of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads out His maghfirat and mercy and forgiveness, like that in the entire month, but especially on the last night of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all those people that kept fast and roza in the month of Ramadan. And these people of the past, although they used to fast, keep roza, but they were not given these five. We are given these five. Ramadan is a time where we should maximize, as I was mentioning earlier, on many things, especially dua, our tilawat of Quran Sharif, our charities, many things else, but especially on dua. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, ثَلَاثٌ لَا تُرَدُّ دَعْوَةٌ. There are three people whose du'as are never rejected. One, al-imam al-adil, a person, a just ruler, who is just, Muslim, pious, upright, that his du'a is not rejected, is readily accepted by Allah. Second, da'watu sa'im, the person who is fasting, his dua. According to some narrations, hatta yuftir, and according to some narration, hina yuftir. That till the time of iftar, the entire day, till the time of iftar, and according to some narrations, at the time of iftar, this person who is fasting, keeping roza, sawm and siyam, his duas are readily accepted by Allah. Third, da'watul mazloom, an oppressed person, male or female, male or female, oppressed person's du'as. يَرْفَعُهَا اللَّهُ فَوْقَ الْغَمَامِ تُفْتَحُ لَهَا أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ وَيَقُولُ الرَّبْ لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ. A person who's oppressed, male or female, it can be the husband or the wife, can be the debtor or the creditor, can be the lessor or the lessee, can be the employer or the employee. You thought you oppressed a person, you made zulm on him. You thought you did that. You got away in this world. You use the crookedest lawyer in the book to find every loophole legally to get you out of the situation of not paying the person, of not giving him his right in his estate, of not paying him his dues, not paying him his wage, how he's deserving to him. You tried everything. But that person is mazloom, is oppressed. By being oppressed, whatever baddua or dua, whatever curses that person have, many times he doesn't have to even say it verbally. Many times he doesn't have to even verbally utter it. And there Allah Ta'ala accepts that person, oppressed person's duas. No getaway. Today we're fooling ourselves. We're really fooling ourselves when we think there's a getaway. There is no getaway. Maybe, legally and every other way you got away in this world. Never in a grave, never in akhirat. You can book flights, you can do tickets of umrah and hajj. You can give charities. Tell the person to cater and give the halim and give everything out in the month of Ramadan. And like that the entire year. But you don't pay the person. You have oppressed the person. You haven't paid him his dues. Person has to ask you for his funds. If you have a valid reason, explain the person. Ask him for his spite. Make some plan to pay the person. But you're not going to pay the person and get away in other ways. That person you've oppressed. And the hadith says that that oppressed person's du'as are accepted by Allah. يَرْفَعُهَا اللَّهُ فَوْقَ الْغَمَامِ. Allah Ta'ala takes the du'a of that oppressed person above the clouds. تُفْتَحُ لَهَا أَبْوَابُ السَّمَاءِ. The doors of the skies are open for the du'a. وَيَقُولُ الرَّبْ. Allah Ta'ala promises that oppressed person, لَأَنْصُرَنَّكَ وَلَوْ بَعْدَ حِينَ, that I definitely will help you. I will take revenge on your behalf. Who is saying this? Allah. For the oppressed person. Walau ba'd heen. Even if it be after some time, not have to be immediately. People thought they got away for a few years. When Allah Ta'ala's lanat comes, Allah's curse and anger descends upon the people. We find it manifested and becomes avowed and clear in their lives in so many different ways. Whether it be in form of sicknesses, difficulties, calamities, predicaments, problems, if not in this world, definitely in the hereafter. So these three people, one of them being, we're speaking about the in context of the person who's fasting. These du'as are accepted at the time of iftar, we're more worried about so many other things. What's there, what's not there, so many other things we're worried about. That's the time to make du'a to Allah. According to the words of one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a person who's fasting, his du'as are so valuable that Allah Ta'ala instructs, those angels that are carrying his throne, closest angels to Allah. The closest angels to Allah are those carrying his throne, Hamilin Arsh. They are carrying his throne. They are told to leave all what responsibilities, what duties they have, and say Ameen to the dua of those people that are fasting. How valuable it is. Now one may wonder that I've made so much of dua, whether in Ramadan, whether at the time of iftar, whether it be at other Mubarak times, Friday, Jum'ah, between Asr and Maghrib. But we say du'as are accepted, and my du'as, many people would think my du'as are not accepted. I was not given what I asked. Respected brother in Islam, acceptance of du'as does not mean necessarily that what we ask for we are given in this world. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains this in one hadith. Ma min muslim yad'u bidawa laysa fiha ithm wala qati'atu rahim illa a'tahu Allah biha ihda thalath imma an yu'ajjala lahu da'wata aw yu'akhkhira lahu fil ukhra aw yasrifa 'anhu min as-su'i mithlaha. Lengthy hadith, the gist of it is that when a person makes dua to Allah and there's no sinful need, nothing sinfully ask Allah for, nothing impermissible, nothing to do with sin, breaking of family ties, anything wrong, Allah Ta'ala answers his du'as in one of the three ways. So acceptance of du'as is in one of the three ways. We only restricted to one. I made a du'a, this is what I want, I must have it immediately. This is the world today. Everything is fast-tracked. Fast track of this, everything is fast foods, fast this and fast that. Everything must be quick, instant. I must not have normal Wi-Fi, I must have fiber, I must have this, I must have that. The world is going in that way. We think in that way also. But the hadith has one of the three ways. Do not give up. يُسْتَجَابُ لِلْعَبْ مَا لَمْ نِسْتَعْجِلْ. Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that a person's dua is accepted as long as he does not hasten Allah. قَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَمَا الْإِسْتِعْجَالِ. Sahaba radiallahu anhu asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what do you mean by hastening Allah? He says, أَن تَقُولَ دَعَوْتُ دَعَوْتُ فَلَمْ يُسْتَجَبْ لِي. A person carries on making dua to Allah. At the time he gets tired. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَمَلْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَمَلُّونَ. Allah doesn't get tired. Allah doesn't become bored and insipid. We become bored. We heard something before, we heard it again, we become bored and insipid. Allah does not happen to Allah. Allah doesn't get tired. We must continue knocking at the door of Allah. So the Sahaba asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is meant by hastening Allah? So he replied, a person asked Allah, da'awtu da'awtu falam mustajabli. Oh Allah, how many times I made dua to you? I made one time, two times, 10 times, 100 times. Oh Allah, you're not accepting my dua. A person complains to Allah. And that is the cause of his du'as not being accepted. When you hasten Allah, Allah knows what is best for us. At what time, at what juncture, at what aspect in our lives. So this hadith is that a person's dua is accepted in one of the three ways. Even while you're fasting, even at the time of Jum'ah, at the time between Asr and Maghrib, any Mubarak night in time of Tahajjud. The first is, يُعَجَّلَ لَهُ دَعْوَةً. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hasten to you what you ask for in this world. What you ask for, you get immediately in this world. That's one way. We all desire for that. But Allah knows what's best for us. Second, يُؤَخْرَ لَهُ فِي الْأُخْرَى. Allah delays the acceptance of our dua to a latter part in our life. Later in our life, could be after 30 years, certain anbiya, certain prophets of Allah, made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah accepted the dua after 30 years, some after 50 years, some after 80 years. But they continued knocking at the door of Allah. Never give up, never hasten Allah. So the second way is, Allah delays the acceptance of one's dua and granting him what he wants to a latter part in life. According to one explanation of the hadith, what is meant by delay of the dua being accepted to a latter part? Latter part could also mean in the hereafter. That Allah does not give you here. He gives it to you day in the akhirat. According to one narration, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when a person, إِذَا دَخَلْ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ, when the people will enter Jannah, they will see the huge rewards, the plentitude, the huge rewards and the magnitude of the rewards and thawab Allah Ta'ala has given them in Jannah. They will question Allah that, oh Allah, I was not such a pious person, but you gave me so much in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply. Lengthy hadith, the gist of it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reply, what actions you did, which were accepted by me, I have rewarded you here. The extras you see, you say the perks, the bonus, you see the extras. These are in lieu of all those du'as you've made in the world. And you were not given in the world, but you are now, it has been now stored for you in Jannah. When this person will see how great the rewards are there, he will then desire, how nice if all my du'as were not accepted in the world and were given to me in Jannah. That's where we need it more. We think we need things here. It is true. But there, the rewards are needed more to go higher and higher and higher in Jannah. We all want upgrades. We all want fast tracks. We all want these things. But there, that is where to get it. That is where we will really appreciate it much more than here, this temporary life. So the first being, what you ask for, you'll be given immediately in this world. Second being, way of acceptance of dua, delay to latter in your life, or in Jannah where the rewards will be much more. Third, يَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ مِنَ السُّوءِ مِثْلَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the barakat of some dua you made, to the blessings and the rahmat that Allah ta'ala shows upon us, some dua you made for something else, but Allah ta'ala did not give you that. But through that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed some calamity, difficulty, problem, predicament, sickness, something supposed to befall you. But to the barakat of that dua you made for something else, Allah removed this calamity and difficulty. No dua ever goes to waste. No dua of a person, a true Muslim, with the right conditions, halal, rosy a person has, the right times, etc., ever goes to waste. That is why Ramadan is a time when these angels are saying Ameen to our dua. When we've been promised the du'as are accepted. Let us maximize, as I said earlier, I'm saying it again, maximize on the month of Ramadan. Especially keeping in focus what we are fasting for. We are fasting to obtain this quality of taqwa in our life, which we've heard the explanation many times before. To develop Allah's consciousness in our life. How conscious are we of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? May Allah give me and give all of us tawfiq and hidayat and guidance to appreciate our life, our time, and especially the month of Ramadan.